Good morning. How is everybody today? That was lackluster. That was lackluster out there. You guys are usually spunkier than that. My name's Mike Dinius, if you don't know who I am, and I'm one of the guys that's up here on Sunday mornings. Welcome to Greater Alton. If it's your first time this morning, sit back, relax. You're amongst imperfect people, so you don't have to worry about being perfect. How's everybody's weekend going this weekend? Yeah, I'm having a great weekend myself. Got to go to my Battle Hawks game yesterday. Caw. That's right. They won. It is the law, by the way. If I say caw, you have to do it back because it's the law. I'm one of those people that dress up for the game, even though it was May the 4th and everybody's like, oh, you dressed up as a Mandalorian for May the 4th. No, I do that every game. Painted my face, ended up painting a bunch of kids and people's faces yesterday. We had a great time. Had a house full of high schoolers last night. And I don't know what was louder, the Battle Dome or my kitchen last night, because all of the girls that came to our house were in choir together. And so, like, I got serenaded while I was trying to watch TV. So you know how that goes. There's a few things going on here today and this week at Greater Alton. It's in your bulletin that there is a color war after church for the kids, just so you know. When you see puffs of colored powder and things going on, kids running crazy, it's supposed to happen. So don't worry about that. We have a few things going on at Greater Alton too. On Wednesday nights, we have a class that is going through a book on small groups. And if you notice, the title of the lesson today is The Power in Small Groups. And if you're interested, we're halfway through the class, but that's okay because we want to make our small groups better. You can jump in at any time. We have recorded the lessons. I'm working on getting them posted. The notes are posted. If you want to join, there's a sign up on Church Center. We meet 6:30 to 8-ish on Wednesday nights. And we're going through how to make our small groups better. There's also going to be a class coming up soon. After that small groups class on Wednesday nights is over, we're going to start a class on Thursday nights so that people who can't meet on Wednesdays can come to this. And we're going to go over how to study with people, how to share your faith and study scripture and bring people to Christ. And we're going to go over some studies that we have here at Greater Alton and how you can share your faith with people and how you can prepare and how you can read scripture with people. And we're going to be going through that on Thursday nights. More information on that is coming. Enough with the advertisements. I do have one more announcement though. A few weeks ago, a handful of us went to the Sekempe house to celebrate and we played Mario Kart and we had some fun, but that was just celebrating a meeting that they had. Mark now has an actual green card. I am so excited that my brother has that weight off of his shoulders. That is really exciting. That's something as a family, if you don't know, Mark is originally from Uganda. They moved here from Arkansas, him and his wife Sydney, to work with the youth ministry to replace the bum that left the youth ministry before you. That was me. And they moved here on faith knowing that his citizenship, green card status was kind of up in the air. And we've been praying about that and it happened. So that's really exciting. Let's get into this lesson. We're in a sermon series called The Power of Small. And we're looking at small things in scripture that make big impacts. We've talked about, Tim started this series talking about just thinking small. Thinking like having this idea that small things are important. Gary talked about small faith. The faith of the size of a mustard seed. And Alan has spent the past couple of weeks talking about the small gate and a little bit of yeast. And if you want to hear those lessons, you can get on greateraltonchurch.com and those lessons are there that you can listen to. The notes are there as well, so you can follow along. And just like in your bulletin, there's notes. You can follow along with what we're talking about today. I already told you we're talking about the power of small today, in small group. At Greater Alton, we have a focus on small groups. Today's going to seem like I'm talking to the choir a lot because a lot of you are in small groups. at Greater Alton, the health of this church is largely dependent on the health of our small groups. And some of you were like, some of you might be thinking, why is there this emphasis on small groups? Well, we see in scripture small groups. You see people, not huge, you do see the huge masses of people together, but a lot of the power happens in those small groups. Like when Jesus is feeding the 5,000 people, his disciples are gathered around him. There's a small group amongst all these people, and the power happens there. You look in Acts, the church met together, and we're going to read this passage. The church meets together in their homes. Not all of you can fit in my house at one time. That means there was a small group. And we see that there's power in small groups. Because not, I can't know all of you, but I can know a few of you. And because each of us can be interconnected, this church can be healthy. I began attending Greater Alton in 2002. My first small group was essential in me staying here, in me being connected, in me finding a home here. They poured into my life, and I poured into theirs. I developed deep, meaningful relationships with them. And some of those relationships I still have, and some have moved on, but that's just the way life works. Those people pushed me and walked with me. They pointed me towards ministry. They pointed me towards where I could serve. My first foray into ministry here at Greater Alton was standing in the parking lot. And that was because my small group leader was like, hey, I think you should go help with the parking ministry. I think you'd be great. You smile at people. And that's really what we need in the parking lot is people who smile. We don't want people like, We want that first impression, because that's what the ministry was called, to be a good one. We want people waving and happy that you're not paying attention to where I'm pointing you to go. For those of you that aren't in a small group right now, my prayer is that you hear something this morning that helps you seek a small group. It seems for those of us that are in small groups that it's a no-brainer to be a part of a small group because we've seen the power. We've seen the life change. We are there. We have that family. And this morning, it's just going to be a good reminder for you that are already in a small group why you're there. Because I don't know about you guys, but every once in a while, I realize I'm doing something because it's what I'm supposed to do. And I need to be reminded of the why. Like, there's a good reason I go to small group. There's a good reason I go to church on Sunday mornings. There's a good reason. But sometimes it's good to hear that why I do that. First, I want to talk about what does God provide for me through small groups? So what does God provide through small groups? Well, the first thing he provides is community. God is going to provide you a community through your small group. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. There is a community there. Our small group is family. That's just the way our small group works. We look at each other as family. And our small group probably knows me better than my own flesh and blood family. Because I spend more time with my small group than I do with my own parents at this point in my life. And that's not a problem. That's not something that's horrible because I do talk to my parents. It's not like I ignore them. But I spend more time with my small group. Our girls look at the people in our small group as aunts, uncles, and cousins. At one point when Cara was little, we had to sit her down and explain to her that Uncle Michael doesn't have the same mom and dad as I do. Because we're that close. We call each other brother. Well, we don't actually use the term, but we view each other as brother. I don't go, Brother Andrew. That's weird. But Andrew is my brother, and he looks at me the same way. That's how our small group looks. That community, that really close-knit family that we have. Something else God provides through small group is discipling. It's discipling. Again, back in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In small group, God's going to provide us with discipling. What does that mean? That's a weird word that I only hear in church. Because we don't use that term outside of church anymore. You could talk, a disciple would be a student or an apprentice. So when we talk about being discipled, that means somebody's going to teach you. And you're going to learn from somebody. And God's going to provide for you that teaching and maturing. But it doesn't just happen in the meeting of small group. Because small group is more than a few hours, depending on what day you have small group, after church, Saturday mornings. It's more than just that. Small group is more than just that time. Because I'm not going to get all the teaching I need from that time. Just like I can't expect to get all the teaching I need to grow as a Christian by coming to church on Sunday mornings. It's a great start. It's a great point. It's a great part of my weekend. A great part of my week. I love coming to church. But I'm not going to get filled just being here on Sunday mornings. A 30, 45, 50 minute, depending on who's talking, sermon is not going to fill me up. It's going to start. It's a good start. And just like that, I need to have more connection with my small group than just the small group time. Our group meets usually on Sunday afternoons. We're not today because of the color war, and most of the people in our group are going to be at the color war. But our group craves that time. And we have that Church Center app now as a church. And our group thrives on Church Center. We have a tab for prayer, a tab for good news, a tab for Sunday afternoon group with, hey, this is what we're having for lunch. What do you need to bring? And nobody reads that because everybody brings 5 tubs of potato salad. So if you love potato salad, when we grill out, come on over. We'll have no buns, no cheese, no ketchup. We'll have hot dogs and hamburgers and potato salad. It's fine. It's fine. But our small group, discipling is a lifestyle in our small group. Meeting together is a lifestyle. It's not a time on Sundays for us. And if I want to learn, if I want to grow, I have to have that connection outside of the group too. Because we all push each other. We all encourage each other. Another thing I'm gonna be provided for by God in a small group is accountability. In Galatians 6, verse 1, it says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may be tempted. Ecclesiastes tells us that it's better to be together. Two are better than one, and a cord of 3 strands is not easily broken. Proverbs tells us that brothers are born for adversity. When we walk in step with the Spirit together, we will naturally be able to point out with grace the things in each other's lives that need to change to better honor God. God's going to provide that accountability. I am a better dad because of the people in my group. I'm a better husband because of the guys in my group. Yeah, I'm the leader of the group, but it doesn't mean that they can't push me too. They can't poke me. Hey, you need to do better at this. And it goes the other way too. I talk to the guys in our group like, hey, how's it going? And a lot of the time we're just talking about what we're struggling with our kids when we're talking about our families. Or what we're struggling with as men. Because there's things that men struggle with too that we can help each other with. And we can hold each other accountable to that. I get accountability in my small group. A fourth thing that I'm going to be provided for is shepherding. In Jeremiah 3:15, it says this, then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. There is protection and guidance provided by God in small group. I've asked questions and my leaders have guided me. I've been in small groups where one of the leaders has challenged something in the life of one of the members. And it was well received. It wasn't like, raw! It was like, hey, I see this in your life and this is going to trip you up if you don't take care of it. Oh my gosh, you're right. Thank you. I'm going to be shepherded in my group. Just clarification, I'm in more than one small group. I have my adult small group. And I have a guy group that I get with on Saturday mornings that I don't lead. And we have our leadership group that we're a part of. And so there's more than one small group that I'm a part of. And in those other groups, we're leading each other. We're shepherding each other. Just like in my group, my guys will talk to me and the ladies will talk to me, but I'm the shepherd of that group. It's my job to protect it. A good shepherd isn't going to just watch their sheep jump off a cliff or walk into the wolf's den. And in your small group, God's going to provide leadership so that you, if you listen to it, aren't going to jump off that cliff and aren't going to walk into that wolf's den. God provides that in a small group. That also means that if you're looking for a small group, you probably just can't show up to a new group. You could say that there's an interview process. I know in our group right now we're multiplying. Our group is becoming two groups because we're massive. And right now we have no room for new people in our group. That's one of the reasons we're multiplying, so that we could have more availability for more people to come to small group. Not all small groups are evangelistic. Some are. Some just invite people and, yeah, come on, let's meet Jesus. It's going to be great. And other groups like ours right now aren't. We're a closed group. And if you're reading that book that we're going through, you'll understand what I'm saying. If you haven't yet, read it. It's great. But as the shepherd, it's my job to determine, like, hey, can we invite people to this group? And I'm not the only one who makes that decision, by the way. When we are talking about, hey, what about this person coming to group? We usually talk with, as a group or with a majority of the group, because the rest of the group is involved too. They're going to have to pour into this person's life and have a relationship with them, because we want them to feel like family. So I'm going to receive shepherding in a small group. The fifth thing that I'm going to talk about this morning, being provided for by God in small group, is opportunity. Now these five things, that's not all you get provided for. God's just not going to give you only five things. The sixth thing costs extra. There's more. This is just, I could be here all day talking about small groups because it's so important in my life and I would love it. But you guys want to eat dinner at some point tonight. So we're only going to talk about five. There's opportunity in small group. In Ephesians 5, 15 through 16, it says this: be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. So God's going to provide us a lot of opportunity in small group, but what are those opportunities? And on your notes, you'll see I have some bold lettered opportunities there. The first one I have down there is growth and maturity. God will provide growth and maturity. Maybe somebody in the group that God is pointing to you as a big brother or sister. Is there somebody you look up to in your small group? God is saying, hey, here's somebody you can walk alongside and learn from. Maybe God is stirring you to be a big brother or big sister to somebody in your small group. Maybe God is challenging you to learn more about Scripture so you can be a better guide to somebody in your small group, or just be better for yourself. God is going to provide these growth opportunities for you. Again, like I said earlier, Sunday mornings are great, but if I'm only relying on a 45-minute sermon to grow, I need to reevaluate my spiritual journey. Yes, great things are said from up here, but there's power in small groups. I get more training, I get more growth in my small group than I do coming on Sunday morning. Another opportunity is there's an opportunity for prayer. I gotta let you know, I'm weak in prayer. I'm weak when it comes to praying. I have an app that helps me. It reminds me twice a day at 7:14 a.m. and 7:14 p.m. to pray. And it even gives me a little prayer prompt to pray for. There's other things on the app. People post prayer requests and you can pray for those. But just the fact that it reminds me to pray, reminds me to pray. I don't have to pray about their prompt, but it just reminds me to pray. In small group, there's going to be tons of opportunity to pray because you're living and doing God's work with your family. I said on the Church Center app, we have that tab for prayer. People are posting prayer requests, not like every day, but often. There's been times where somebody in our small group was going through surgery, so we were praying, like reminding us to pray for that. There was times where like somebody was like, yay, this is awesome, this awesome thing's happening. And we prayed and we were like thanking God for that. In small group, I'm going to have the opportunity to pray. And I'm not just talking about like, dear Jesus, thank you for the food and help us to have a good time in group today. I mean, yes, thank God for the food. Thank God for group. But there's going to be others like, God, so-and-so is really struggling right now. They're struggling with bitterness. They're struggling with anger. They're struggling with pain. They're struggling with their health. And there's all of these things that we can ask the Spirit to work in the members of our small group. We can get God involved in the members of our small group's lives by praying about it. And that is so powerful. It is so powerful. And again, if you are somebody like me, you struggle with remembering to pray. That should be my first go-to. I know that. This is my weak point. But if you're somebody like me, there are things out there to remind you to pray. It's If 714. Alan turned it on to me a while ago. It's been a minute. But I still look at it. I still do it every day. I'm sure there's other apps. Or you could go old school, analog. You could get post-it notes. Put them around your... I mean... Whatever you gotta do to grow in that. Not digital. Yeah, got it. But you're gonna have these opportunities for prayer. Another opportunity you're gonna have is outreach. Outreach. As your small group becomes a healthy family, other people are gonna naturally be drawn to it. People are gonna see your life and your small group and be like, I want that. How do I get that? And they're going to want to become a part of your group. Again, small groups aren't always used evangelistically. They're not always open just for everybody to come. But our group does things purposefully. Like we'll have a barbecue every once in a while, or we'll go do something as adults. We want to do something as adults. It's just there's a lot of kids. Can't just abandon them. Dang. But we do things that we invite people to. Sometimes our small group isn't going to actually be small group. It's just going to, let's eat and people can come. Or we do things and we invite people to. There's opportunity for outreach in small group. Maybe not the actual meeting, but the things you do. I know some of the guys go play D&D. Some of the ladies hang out. There's tons of stuff that you could invite people to that gets them connected. And that's really what we're looking for. That's really what we want to do, is get people connected to the body of Christ. Because when they get connected to the family, they will really see the love of God. They'll also see our imperfection, but they'll really see the love of God. So in small group, I have the opportunity to grow and mature. I have the opportunity to pray for people, and I have the opportunity to reach out to people. I gotta let you know, it is so good to be in a small group. I love being in small group. I don't know how I would walk my spiritual journey without the people that are my family in small group. They hold me accountable. It's awesome because there will be times on Sunday afternoons in our small group, I'll forget something. And I got three or four ladies that will remind me. That aren't my wife. My wife will remind me too, but she sometimes doesn't even have to, because like Melissa Gill or Allison or even Sarah will be like, hey, you forgot about this. Or Kelsey sitting in the back, mom's ministry, Mike. Oh, sorry, forgot about it. It's great. I love it. We work together with each other, and it's, I don't know, if you're not in a small group like that, I can't explain it to you. There's just that family. It is to the point where we discipline each other's children. And nobody gets upset about it because we're all on the same page with where we want our kids to be. I love it when people speak into my children's lives. Like, hey, you're not listening to your parents. It's great. I love it. We got backup. parents. We got backup. How many parents need more backup? I love it. I will tell you this. Being a part of small group is not about being baby birded. Now, this is something I've been using, a term I've been using a lot lately. I don't know if you know what this means, being baby birded. I'm looking at my daughter because I've used it with her recently. Baby birds get fed by the parents constantly. They're just sitting there, mouths open. Mom and dad fly in and feed them. Being a part of a small group isn't about being baby birded. You can't join a small group and expect your leader to just feed you constantly like a baby bird. Being a part of a small group is going to require something from you. It's going to require work. It's going to require commitment. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning. There's power in small group, but it's going to require some small commitments from you for that power to work in small group. The first small commitment that's going to be required of you is to attend regularly. If you want to find the power in small group, you have to attend regularly. Hebrews 10:25 says, we must not quit meeting together as some are doing. No, we need to keep on encouraging each other. This becomes more and more important as you see the day getting closer. I cannot expect to receive God's blessing from my small group if I'm not a part of my small group. If you're in a small group, are you constantly missing group or habitually late to group? The joke there is, do they always ask you to bring ice? Some of you are chuckling because you've either been asked to bring ice or you asked somebody to bring ice. The joke there is, the thing you need the least is what you ask that person to bring. We can get away without ice. I'm not going to ask so-and-so to bring the hamburgers. Because if we don't have hamburgers, we're not having a meal. Am I the person being asked to bring ice? If you want to be blessed and receive the things that we've already been talking about, you have to be there. And now comes the question, wait, so I can't miss ever? It's not what I said. It's not what I said at all. I said attend regularly. That's different for each person. I am the leader of my small group, and I'm not even there for all the meetings. But as a small group, we've made a group covenant that we all worked on, we all agreed to. And in it, instead of saying, I'm going to be at group 3 out of 5 meetings, or out of 4 out of 5, or whatever ratio you want to use, we simply said, I'm going to make group attendance a priority. There's going to be times you're not going to be at group. But here's the thing. When we miss group, we're not just sitting back and be like, oh, I missed it. We're like, hey, what happened in group? Or what did we go over? Or what it was talked about? Or what's so-and-so going through? Just because we weren't at group doesn't mean we're not going to find out what happened in group. Doesn't mean we're not going to find out what's going on with our family. You see, we make it a priority. And here's the other thing. Everyone in our group wants to be at our group. Everyone in our group wants to be at the meeting. We've had times where there were some people in our group, they were going to be at group, and they called, my mom and dad just showed up unannounced. We can't come. That's fine. We get it. You were bringing ice anyway. They weren't. It's fine. But I want, as the shepherd of my group, I have this idea that there are two ways to shepherd. I can either build a fence and keep all the sheep in, which if you ever had animals and you build a fence to keep them in, you know what happens? They knock the fence down. Animals are dumb. Not small group members, animals. Don't get those mixed up. The other way to shepherd is to build a well. Have a water source. Have a place where the food is. Because if you do that, the sheep aren't going to want to leave. They're going to want to be where their sustenance is. And that's kind of the direction we've taken as a small group, where we're not trying to fence everybody in and keep our group here and hold on to our group, because let's be real, I'm the kind of guy, I'm the idiot sheep that would be knocking down the fence. I'd push against it. But when I see, hey, this is where the food is. And by the way, we have some really good cooks in our small group. Like Andrew can cook and Michael can cook and Eli throws money at us to cook. And there really is good food in our small group. I'm trying to lose weight and it's not working. I don't know why. But if there is life in my group, why would my group not want to meet together? So my question for you guys is, regular small group attendance a priority for you if you're in a group? Is regular small group attendance a priority? Again, I didn't say you have to be at every meeting. I just said, is regular attendance a priority? Another commitment, another small commitment you can make to your small group is you can contribute. Immediately you all thought money. I'm not talking about money this morning. Acts chapter 2, 44 through 45 said, all believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Mike, you said you weren't talking about money. You're right, I'm not talking about money. Money's involved. I'm not talking about money. There are other things you can contribute to your small group other than money. Remember, you're not in your small group to solely receive. You're in your small group to contribute. Every member of a small group has something to offer. Some of you are like, Mike, I have nothing to offer. False. Everyone has something to offer. Even if the only thing you have to offer is a bad example. Here's what not to do. Here is what not to do. There were times at summer camp, one of my favorite parts of summer camp was Thursday nights in boys' cabin, high school boys' cabin specifically, because I didn't do this with middle schoolers. Every night when I ran camp, we'd have story time before bed. It was really my ploy to get the high school boys to shut up and go to sleep. But it was story time. And the first few nights of camp were like Bible stories, like really cool Bible stories that got people involved, like David's Mighty Men or the axe handle that floated or the angelic army surrounded the bad army. It was a great time. But Thursday nights, instead of my little white flashlight out, I put a red flashlight out. And they knew it was Mike D stories. And they were all examples of what not to do. Told in a humorous light, but they were all stories of like, hey, here's what I did in high school and college. That was stupid. Don't do it. So if all you have to offer is a bad example, that's something you can offer. We're not called to just sit on our blessed assurance. We're called to spread God's love. And where better to start than in your small group? I wrote down some small steps to start contributing. They're not in your notes, but if you're thinking like, how can I contribute to small group this morning, Mike? Here are some small things you can do to contribute to small group. And I don't have bring ice on this list. One thing you can do is pray during and outside of the meeting. Your group is going to have needs. You can pray about it. You can volunteer to pray about it. That's a big thing. The volunteer part, the leader doesn't be like, hey, well, so-and-so pray for the group. You can volunteer to pray. And if you're anything like us, we have a time at the beginning of our small group where we talk about, hey, good news, things that, and prayer requests. And we talk about that stuff. So at the end of the group, I'll pray. Okay. Something else you can do is offer to bring food. Now, when our small group works, when we have a meal, whoever's cooking will post, this is what we're having, this is what we need. And everybody's like, I'll bring cheese, I'll bring cheese, I'll bring cheese. Read the posts. That's our running joke in our group, is actually read the posts. But you can offer to bring something. Here's an easy one. It's actually not so easy, but it's an easy one. Speak up during discussion. What? Actually talk during discussion. You have something to say. Now, it might be you're like me and you got to chew on it a minute. You got to think about it a minute. But before the discussion ends, you probably have a thought that's been bubbling around, bouncing around in there. You can share it. Mike, that's contributing to the group? Oh, it's contributing to the group. As iron sharpens iron, so one brother sharpens another. One sister sharpens another. You have something to say that God has put in your brain. You can share it with your group. That's a way you can contribute. Here's another way. You can meet with somebody in your group outside of the meeting. Dun, dun, dun. There are tons of coffee shops around here for a reason. Or if you're not into coffee, there's tons of restaurants around here for a reason. There's couches. God invented couches for a reason. And can I tell you this? You getting together with somebody outside of the meeting doesn't have to be spiritual. You could get dressed up with 30,000 of your favorite family members and go to a Battlehawks game. You could go to a park and play frisbee golf or tennis. You could just drive around and talk about what's going on in your life. It doesn't have to be super spiritual. You don't have to be like, let's turn to Zedekiah chapter 5. By the way, don't look for Zedekiah chapter 5. That's a joke. I had to explain that one day. I'll explain it later. We don't have time. You don't have to always open up scripture every time you get together. Now, it's going to be written on your heart, and scripture's going to happen. But you don't have to have this big, elaborate planned thing to meet with somebody outside a group. A couple other ways that I wrote down this morning that popped into my head is you could offer to clean up after the meeting. Now, I don't know about you, but our groups meet in homes. Not always our home. We rotate when depending on availability. After group, you're like, hey, what can I do? Our group is really good about that. Our group is really good, like, what can I do to help clean up? Can you wipe off the counter? Can you do the dishes? Can you take out the trash? Can you make sure the kids actually picked up instead of just saying they did? But help clean up after the meeting. Another big thing in our group right now, we have bigs. We call them bigs, and we have littles. We have the older kids and the little kids. The older kids watch the little kids, so we don't have to worry so much about the adults volunteering to watch the kids. But other groups don't have that luxury. So maybe in your group, you could volunteer one week to watch the kids. Or you could be like, hey, we don't have a rotation going. Can we make a list so we know who's watching the kids each week so it's not the same person watching the kids every week and they miss out on group every week? That's an awesome way to contribute to your group. So my question for you guys this morning is, where is God calling you to contribute? What is God calling you to do for your group? And that doesn't just apply to the adults, high schoolers, middle schoolers. What are you doing to contribute to your group? It's not solely on the youth ministers. What other small commitments do I need to make? Well, another small commitment that you can make to a small group is be open and honest. I understand if it's a new group, you guys are still feeling each other out. You're trying to figure out where you sit. It's going to be kind of hard to be like, first group meeting of this brand new group. Here's my sins that I'm struggling with right now. I get that. I get that. But as your family dynamic develops in your small group, are you going to be open and honest with each other? Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. I need to commit to being open and honest in my small group. God has provided these people to walk alongside me, and how can they help me if I'm not going to let them know what's going on in my life? This includes life events and sins. And if somebody comes to group and just drops a bomb about something going on in their life and no one knew about it, what does that say about my small group? If there are these major life events happening in the people of my small group and I have no idea about it, or no one in my small group knows about it, what's that say about my small group? We are called to walk with each other and speak into each other's lives. And I want you to know this. You are not a burden to your small group. You are not a burden to your small group. Your problems are not a burden to your small group. Your group members, your family, have committed themselves to your group. That means that when you're laid up in the hospital for weeks, they're committed to you. That means when your kids are just bonkers, they're committed to walking alongside of you. That means when your car breaks down, they're committed to walking alongside of you. That means when a parent dies or a grandparent dies, they're committed to walking alongside of you. That means when blank happens, they're committed to walking alongside of you. You're not a burden to your group. Remember the song, Lean on Me? Lean on me now, because one day I'm going to need to lean on you. We cannot be like that if we're not honest and open with what's going on in our lives, with the events that are happening in our lives. Not that long ago, we were at a funeral. And I got messages from our small group. Our small group showed up to the funeral. There was food in my refrigerator when I got home. Like, that's what a small group does. It's not just, well, Jesus said this. And it's not just academic. It's not just academic. It's a lifestyle. What about sin? Hidden sin kills small groups. And I told you that here at Greater Alton, the health of the church is largely based off the health of the small groups. So if hidden sin kills small groups, therefore hidden sin also will kill churches. Our small group has gone through a time, a season, where there just wasn't something right. There just wasn't something right. And we found out there was hidden sin in our small group. And we did what Scripture said. We went to that person, those people, individually. And we pleaded with them. And there have been times in our small group where there was hidden sin, and the person repented, and we celebrated, and there was grace, and everything was awesome, and now they're restored, and it's beautiful. And there have been times in our small group where the hidden sin came out, and we confronted them, and we asked them to repent, and we challenged them, and they didn't. And they're no longer a part of our small group. Hidden sin kills small groups. I will tell you this. It's my duty as a shepherd to protect my group, and I'm open with my group about that. And if I know of a sin in one of their lives, I'm going to talk to them about it. I'm going to confront them about it because that's what I'm supposed to do. And after, as a group, we worked through those sins. There's been multiple times in our group. After we've worked through those sins as a group, whether the person was brought to repentance or the person left the group, every time afterwards, there was growth in our group. The stagnation left, and we grew, and we became closer, and we became stronger, and there was more love, and there was more grace, and there was more of God in our group. You see, we all sin. We're all guilty of something. And if we're open about it, our groups can help us work through it. They will help us walk in repentance. But there's going to be no help coming for you if you keep hiding your sin. I tell my guys at work like this. If you break something, tell me. No one at my job has ever gotten yelled at by me for breaking something. Because chances are I've already broke it before. That's not a joke. That's fact. The guys are always amazed at the fact that I can fix almost everything in the shop. And they're like, how do you know how to fix this? Well, you see, I broke it before and I had to fix it. No, you never broke this. I go, there's a machine in my job that I used to run when I was just a brake press operator that has the perfect indentation of a half inch Allen wrench in the die bed. Because somebody left an Allen wrench under the die, then brought the machine down on it, and I hit it so hard, you can read the serial number indentation in the die bed now. That somebody was me, and I fixed it. It still works. It was not a fun day. I got yelled at, but I fixed it. And I tell the guys, if you broke something, don't hide it. It's going to make it worse. I tell our small group that too. If you've screwed up, don't hide it. Chances are somebody else here has done the same thing. there's a young man that right now asked me to hold him accountable because he's struggling with a sin. And I can't come down on him. I can't yell at him. I can't treat him like a piece of crap, honestly, because I was there. I struggled with the same thing. How can I be like, well, you better be careful because that's a dangerous thing. No, I'm like, dude, I know the struggle. Let's make a game plan on how to avoid that. Here's what I did to avoid that. I can't come down on him like a box of rocks because I was right there. Not that long ago. Well, it was kind of that long ago. But I was there. Your small group can be like that too. There's grace. There's grace there in small group. We can walk in repentance with each other. We can walk in grace with each other as long as we're open and honest. So my question with you is, what do you need to be open and honest about with your small group? Maybe it's not sin. Maybe it's, I'm really annoyed by this, and don't make it a grumbling thing. Just be honest, like, hey, this is one of my pet peeves. I'm working through it. Can you help me be gracious in it? Maybe it's something not serious like that, but you need to be open and honest with your family. Another small commitment to our small group is we can be inviting and welcoming. Hebrews 13:2 says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Think about that for a minute. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. I believe that still happens today. So think about that. If you've been hospitable, if you've been friendly, if you've been generous, you might have been serving an angel. My commitment to small group, I need to be welcoming and inviting. Don't point, don't look at them. But we all can think of somebody who isn't inviting and welcoming, who doesn't always have a smile on their face. They're not always happy. They don't have a whole lot of friends because they're grumpy, I'm not looking at anybody. Sometimes it's me. Have you ever seen me before coffee? My guys at work, I get to work early. If they show up work early, they know don't talk to him until he's had his coffee in his hand for 10 minutes. Because he's not awake yet, and he's grumpy. Yeah, I wasn't looking at Paul. He was whispering. He didn't hear me. But my commitment is to be welcoming and inviting, not open and honest. That was the last commitment. Welcoming and inviting. And I'm not talking about strangers. I'm not talking about people you're inviting. I'm talking about your small group. Are you open? I keep saying it. Are you inviting and welcoming to your actual small group? The people you've probably been with for years. Sometimes the people we're closest to, we think about the least with this. We have this seeker mentality where if there's guests, we need to make sure that they feel welcomed and they need to feel like they can be a part of us. But we forget about the people who've been here for years. In your small group specifically, are you inviting and welcoming to the people that are a part of your family? Are you approachable? Are you gentle or are you harsh and mean? So my wife and I have this term for each other when, let's just say I haven't had my coffee yet. We tell each other, you're being prickly. You're being prickly. It's a nice way of saying you're being a jerk or other things. But you're being prickly because no one wants to hug a cactus. And I can be a cactus sometimes. I can be hard to love sometimes, and you all can too. I need to commit to being inviting and welcome. I just need to commit to be friendly. That's a small commitment that I can make to my small group, is to be friendly. Let's just say a new person was coming to your group. Would they feel welcomed? Would they feel included? Would they feel wanted? Would the people that are already in your small group say the same thing? So my question for you this morning is God calling you to be more friendly? Is God calling you to be more inviting and welcoming? And the last commitment we're going to talk about this morning, again, it's not a complete comprehensive list of small commitments you can make to your small group, but it's a good start. And this one, actually, before it pops up on the screen, I was debating whether to actually add this one. Because I was just like, nah, I don't need to talk about this. And then God was like poking me. He's like, poke, poke, because that's what God does to me. And he's like, yeah, you need to talk about this. And the last commitment we're going to talk about this morning, I need to share the love of God. I need to share the love of God. John 13, 34 through 35 says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So like, duh, right? Duh. We gotta love each other. When was the last time you thought about that as a commitment to your small group to love each other? Can I be real? I don't always think about it. So it's good for me to think about it this morning. I need to make a commitment to sharing the love of God. Because if we're in a meeting, if we're in a group, and we don't have the love of God, what are we? We're just a club. We're just a club. If there's no spiritual impact, we're just a club. How can you commit to sharing the love of God? Well, here's a few things. And then we'll wrap up for this morning. How can you commit to sharing the love of God? You can be attentive to those who are sharing. How many times have I been in a group where somebody is like bawling or pouring their heart out or saying something, and there's like three people playing Subway Racers, playing Angry Birds, Subway Surfers, sorry. I can be attentive to those who are sharing. I can check in on those people throughout the week. I can pray for them. I can share encouraging scriptures with them. I mean, for me, if I'm going through a bad time, an encouraging scripture is great. It's not always the way to get to me. It will hit me later. So if you know I'm struggling with something and you send me an encouraging scripture, just realize it's a slow burn for me. It'll hit me later. You can cook a meal for them in times of need. You can spend time with them outside of the meeting. Here's a good way to share the love of God with somebody. You can challenge them. Mike, that's not really loving. Jesus loved everybody, and he made a whip once. Jesus loved everybody, and he pushed people away sometimes because he told them what needed to be said in love, and they didn't like it, and they left. I think of the rich young ruler. Sell all your possessions. Oh, nope. I'm out. There are so many ways to share God's love. We can extend grace and forgiveness when there's failure and repentance. We can just walk alongside people. We can show up and shut up sometimes when people are going through a hard time. Just being there. There are a ton of ways to share the love of Christ. And that's really what small group is about. It's sharing God's love. It's walking alongside with each other. And there's so much power in this small thing. If we make these small commitments to God. This morning, if you don't have a small group, like I said, you can't really always just jump into a small group. But there are people here who are in small groups who'd be like, hey, I think you would fit in this small group. Let's go talk with them and see what they think. And there is kind of an interview process. We gotta make sure that we're healthy and our people are healthy and available. But we want you to be a part of a small group. If you're already in a small group, I hope that these ideas have spurred you on to think, like, what can I do to make this better? At Greater Alton, we're always trying to grow and mature. And if our small groups are healthy, this church is gonna be healthy. There's a place for everyone here. Everyone has a place here. And if you're interested in a small group, ask somebody who you trust to point you in the right direction. But remember this. Small groups require small commitments that make huge impacts. Small groups require small commitments that make huge impacts. There's a communication card in your bulletin. It's just a way, if you have prayer requests, we have a prayer team that prays over them. We don't blab everything out. There's other boxes you can check if you're interested in a Bible study or how to become a member and there's a bunch of stuff there. If you're interested, fill that out, put it in the baskets in the back after the services. You'll see our members putting their offering in those baskets. If you're a guest here, we didn't ask you to come so we could get something from you. We hope we've given you something this morning. So don't feel like you have to put something in the basket. I'm not going to stop you if you do, but don't feel like you have to. I hope and pray that the rest of your day goes well today and that this week you can think about how you can make your small group better and how, as a family here, we can advance the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this family. Thank you so much for all that you're providing and all you have provided through it, Father. My life is blessed because of my small groups. I am a stronger man because of the people you've put in my life. I pray that everyone here can have that family in their life. That small group family is so important. My kids are better because of it. My marriage is better because of it. It's amazing, Father, what you provide through small group. I want to thank you for the sermon series right now, making us think small and what that means and how your kingdom can be advanced because of the commitments we make here, Father. I pray for all those who are struggling and hurting right now, who are fighting sickness and ailments, Father. I pray that your spirit can come heal them and work mightily in their lives. Bless us, Father. Bless this family here. And help us to walk in step with your spirit. It is in your name I pray. Amen.
Father of light, draw me closer. Lord, my heart is set on you. Let me run the race of time with your life enfolding mine, and let the peace of God let it rain. Oh, Holy Spirit, Lord, my comfort, strengthen me, hold my head up high, and I stand upon your truth, bringing glory unto you, and let the peace of God let it rain. Oh Lord, I hunger for more of you. Rise up within me, let me know your truth. Oh Holy Spirit, saturate Spirit, saturate my your healing power bring life and make me whole, and let the peace of God let it rain. Oh Lord, I hunger for more of you. Rise up within me, let me know your truth. Oh Holy Spirit, saturate my soul, and let the light of God fill me now. Let your healing power bring life and make me whole, and let the peace of God let it rain, and let the peace of God let it rain.